Hey, welcome to Live Sent Podcast, a podcast of Gateway Church in Columbia Falls, Montana. Our podcast is simply just thoughts on life, ministry, mission, and theology. Oh, man. How you doing, Joel? It's good to see you.
Good to see you, too.
Man, it's been a crazy week.
For you?
Yeah. Yeah, I just feel like it's already, the week's already gone, right? I feel like it's already happened.
Well, get ready because another doozy's coming up.
Yeah.
That's how it goes.
That's how it goes. It's just round. No, I'm just kidding. But I'm tired. It's been a long week. What about you?
Yeah. No, it's been, I mean, I don't know. I don't know if it's been any longer than any other week that I have had.
Yeah.
I don't know. I am not one to flippantly say, oh, I'm just super busy, because I feel like everybody says that.
Sure, and
at
sure,
some
yeah.
point, it's just kind of like, are you actually...
Yeah, are you busy, Joel?
Am I busy right now? I mean, actually, no. I mean, I have...
Probably, you have some things probably, you need to do.
Probably last week
was kind of a crush moment.
Yeah. But that's a good point. Anyway, that's kind of a pet peeve of mine.
Sure.
Is when people just say I'm busy, and I don't know. Everybody says it.
Sure. Yeah.
And maybe everyone is, but.
Yeah. Well, I'm not busy. I'm just tired.
That I believe.
But No, I feel like, you know, we're going into winter, and those who are not in beautiful Columbia Falls, Montana, or the Flathead Valley, or Northwestern United States. Anyway, if you don't live where there's more clouds during the winter than there is sun, then you may not understand this. But, so if you're in sunny Florida, you wouldn't get this, but I just feel like the gray season is clearly upon us. It's been upon us. And I can feel that I did not take my vitamin D like my wife told me to religiously this summer. I just feel like the motivation, you know, just the motivation to get up, and I just feel tired more often.
You're supposed to take it months before?
Dr. Marissa. No, I'm just kidding. Well, they say...
You might get in trouble for that.
Yeah, I'm going to get in trouble for that. Yeah, absolutely. They say that you have to take it a couple months before to kind of...
Before it...
You should be in the habit of taking it so it becomes a natural thing in your life. So they just say, take it year round. Mm. Because, like, you never get the amount of sunlight you need even in the summer here, is what they say.
Even in the summer?
Like, if you average it out for a year or whatever, is what they're saying. I think, but, you know, anybody can be a doctor, I guess. I'm just kidding. But, I mean, someone can say something, or like, oh, we think that's true, right? But no, I've just always heard that you just take it consistently so it's a part of your system, right? So
speaking of the body,
yes,
see what I did there?
Yeah, you did. Good job. Good segue, man. Yeah, good segue. Hey. No, money can't buy knives.
I don't know what that means.
No, I'm just kidding. Keep going. No, it's a quote from a movie that no one knows. But anyway, speaking of the body, as you said.
Yeah, that was my set. That was my.
Oh, yeah,
my
yeah. Speaking of the body, we're in the series on community. Yes. I'm sorry. Sorry. Again, tired. But anyway, speaking of the body, we've been in a community series talking about what is community, what's biblical community. And when we look at the church in America, do we see how it is described and prescribed in the New Testament? Meaning, does the church in America, or our experience of the church in America, or majority of the church in America, does it represent what biblical community is? And what is biblical community? So we've just defined that as church is not an event you attend, but a family you belong to, and family is all about community. And we said this, community is not what we do, community is who we are as a church. And so we're talking really about that because we have a new life in Christ, we actually collectively together, locally and universal, have a new nature, and how we relate to one another is actually different than when we did before. And so like last week, we talked about why we asked the question. We're going to continue to answer the question this week, and we're going to wrap it up. But why is community with other believers so important? And what we talked about last week was
why community is important, because we need each other, because there's things that we can't understand about God alone.
Yeah, yeah, there's this, yeah, we need others to grow in our intimacy with God, right? There's this collective, collaborative, or all these cool C words. There's a community now, if you will, that there are things, like you said, about God you will never learn apart from your fellowship with other believers. And so this new relationship with God vertically has ushered in a new relationship horizontally with other people who are now been saved by Jesus. And so we not only have a new relationship with God, but we have a new relationship with what we call new brothers and sisters in Christ, just fellow followers of Jesus. And we talked about the if you will, there was a phrase. Remember that phrase we talked about that there's used over 40 times?
One another.
One another. Yeah, one another. I mean, and we really spent some time just looking at, there's 40-something one another's, but it really just says, hey, what does that look like? And I think one of the things that really want to start this thing, really, we need others to grow in our intimacy with God. We talked about that last week. This week, this is our second point, we need others to walk through the ups and downs of life.
What's an ups and down of life?
Yeah, so the goods and the bads, right? The good time and the bad time, right? You know, the good, bad, and ugly, right? Mm-hmm. Clint Eastwood, appreciate you. But, the movie. Yeah, okay. Anyway, so, but yeah, the good and the bad of life, right? The hard times and the smooth times, you know what I'm saying? And so we've all had that, right? And that's what we're talking about. We need others to walk through the good times of life and the bad times. The easy times, I don't even know if that counts, or and the hard times, right? This reality of that at no point in your life do you not need other believers. Mm-hmm. Hey, everything's great. I don't need anybody. I just got this, right? No, we at every time, we need one another. And I think that this really sheds light on really, at least my experience in the American church, and you kind of shared yours a couple of podcasts ago, but my experience of this is like, I never understood when they talked about community or love one another, bear one another burden, how was I supposed to do that by staring at the back of someone's head on Sunday? Mm. I mean, I'm not trying to be cynical. I'm just trying to say, like, when I read these one another's, there is no way I can do a one another by staring at the back of someone's head on Sunday.
Yeah.
Right?
There's got to be more.
There's got to be more, right? And so what you do is, as a pastor, you kind of look at, okay, where's everyone's commitment level? And, you know, most people say, hey, we got 20% of our attendees are actually in group as well. Right. And so we say, like, where you can gather in a smaller group, or if there's a way to have a gathering that is more interactive, then you can hear the burdens of someone else. You can pray for one another. You can love on one another. You can encourage one another.
Celebrate those highs.
You can celebrate those highs, you know. And so there's this reality. And so I ask that question is, how can you live life with someone when you only see the back of their head on Sunday? And so really this, it goes back to what we've been talking about. If you are a quote-unquote follower of Jesus, and this describes your habitual practice in the church of church is something I do on Sunday, then you're really missing out on what God designed the church to be. Like DNA, like not just like, hey, you kind of missed it, but like the core essence of its being. And, you know, the DNA is the code that helps tells you how you look and your color of your eyes and the color of your hair and, you know, and everything about you is coded in your DNA. And so because your DNA is a certain way, it has effects that affect the rest of your life, right? Mm-hmm. And so it's not just like, oh, I just didn't have that understanding. It's this reality that if we miss that community is entrenched, is nature, is the DNA of the church, biblical community is, then we miss what the church is. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So today we're going to talk about we need others to walk through the ups and downs of life. You have a story, maybe something you could share about where someone in the good times and the bad times have been there for you?
Well, my mind goes back to high school, and this is probably not true. I'm almost sure it's not true, but for some reason it's the first time that I can really remember somebody pouring into me, sharing the good and the bad.
Yeah.
My mentor, Mitch Block.
Oh, Mitchell.
Who, well, he took me out to coffee. He invested in me. He listened to me, listened to my questions that I had about scripture. He would come to my events, my games, sharing those highs.
Yep. Yeah.
And also sharing lows. I had mentioned questions that I had about scripture and just, you know, things that were really difficult. So, I would say that's the first thing that I think of, and the first person that I'd think of that invested in me, was willing to share in those highs and the lows, in keeping in step with what you're talking about with community and. Yeah. And being in relationship with other people.
And I really, yeah, and I agree too. I can point to those people, and I think this really, we need others. Not only do we need others to grow in a relationship with God, we talked about last week, but this week we need others to walk through the ups and downs of life. We're really looking at Acts 2, 44 through 45, and I want to bring our memory to that passage of Scripture. And so this is the early church, really. This is the birth of this new community that now is, because we're in Jesus, now we're in this body where Christ is the head. And 44 through 45 says this, is, and all who believed were together and had all things in common. I think when you read that verse, you think of just like material possessions, right? Like, but then that's not what it means. It means they had everything. Like, they lived life. They were together, and they lived life together.
Their time. Yeah.
And he clarifies, too. He clarifies. There was possessions involved in that. We're not saying that, but it's more than that. But it says in verse 45, and they were selling their possessions and belongings and distributing the proceeds to all. Here's the key. As any had need. So really, there was this perspective change, wasn't there? Of, it's not mine. Mm-hmm. This is ours.
Yeah.
Because what is mine is the Lord's. What is mine is the Lord's. And so all of us walk through moments of excitement and celebration, but we also walk through moments of sorrow and pain. We can all relate to that. We can relate to the moments of excitement and celebration where whether it's graduating from high school, or maybe it's getting married, or it's the birth of your first child, the excitement and the celebration of that, right? Or starting a new church, or seeing someone come to know Christ, or pray for the first time. There's those moments of that, but we also walk through moments of sorrow and pain. Moments where when someone asks us how it's going on, we really can't answer. Because we can't muster into words how we feel and what we're experiencing, whether it's your mom dies, your grandmother passes away, or whether it's as simple as I was in a car wreck and I don't know what to do with my car, or I have all these medical bills. So we all experience these highs and lows, these ups and downs of life. And God brought us together as a family so we would never have to walk through these moments alone. So like last week when we talked about, I don't know how someone makes it through 2020, not alone without Jesus, but without other believers. Wow. Yeah. So imagine this. Here's what it looked like. Believers were gathering in large group and small groups. We call them missional community here, but large group, the gathering, and small groups. A need of some sort would arise in the community of believers. And when the community became aware of the situation in the community, here's what they did not say. Mm-hmm. Here's what they did not say. So a need arise, and this is what they did not say.
Bummer.
Yeah. Hate it for you. Snooze, you lose. No, I'm just kidding.
They should have went to another church.
Yeah. Yeah, they didn't say those things. They didn't say, hey, I hope you figure that out. Man, that sounds really bad, right? Good luck finding those resources, right? I'll pray your need gets met. That's my favorite one, right?
Yeah.
Like, and I've been guilty of that. I'll pray your need gets met. And the reality is God convicts me when I say that. It says you already have the need, that you can already fill that need right now because I've given you that resource. I remember one time I was given a car, okay? And I'm not going to go into the details of the story, but we were driving it. We were using it. It was a blessing at the time, but God had filled the need, and we got another car, and so it was kind of an extra car, and someone asked. It was given to me for free. I didn't even think I paid a dollar for it. Maybe I paid a dollar for it. I can't remember. But free. A dollar's free, pretty much, right? And so if you can't make a dollar, we need to have a conversation, bummer. Right? Bummer. What are you going to do about that, right? I was given a car, and someone in the church I was a part of had need. And they came to me, and they said, hey, would you be willing to sell that car? And I was like, oh, yeah, me and Marissa will talk about the price, and we'll get back with you. And he left my house, and if he listens to this podcast, he knows who he is. So
it'll be kind of awkward.
No, he'll laugh about it. But I say that to say I called him right away after I left because God convicted me. He says, you got that car for free and you're going to try to make money off of it. Who the heck do you think you are? Mm. And it was this idea that we talk about. One of our values at Gateway is to live generously. Mm-hmm. Meaning we are looking and we are ready to make a difference in someone's life with our gifts, our time, and our resources. And the Lord just kind of stopped me and said, why would you sell something to make a profit off something that was given to you? And so that principle really hit me hard, you know? And so they did not say, hey, I hope you find this out. I hope you figure that out. Good luck finding the resources. I pray that gets met, right? Bummer, like you said, right? I mean, how have you seen that play out in the church?
How have I?
Yeah. We talked about what they did not say, but where the resource was met. How have you seen that played out? Someone had a need and it was met.
I guess as we're thinking about vehicles, I think my parents mm-hmm. have lent out many of their vehicles to people before.
Yeah. I've been a benefactor in a season of time.
Well, I was thinking about you, but I wasn't going to say
it. You can say me. God be the glory, man. I was grateful. It was a blessing.
Yeah. Yeah. I think back to many things that my parents have done. They're very generous people.
Yeah.
Whether resources is that they were just giving away like toys to families or... meals that my mom would make and send to people. So that's the first thing that comes to my mind experience when it comes to people living generously and giving their resources and time.
Yeah.
So,
that's what we see in the scripture, right? That's what we see there in Acts 2.
It all stems from the idea and the belief that you really don't own anything. Everything that's yours is really not yours. You're a steward of everything that you have been given from God. Yeah. And because you're a steward, well, boy, nothing I have is mine. So who, like you said in your story, who am I to try to make money off something that was given to me? Well, who am I to keep this for myself when it has been given to me by God. And not only given to me by God, but given to me by God for the purpose of edifying the body. So when you're not living generously with the things that you've been given from God, it's a travesty is what it is. Because you're not using the things that you've been given for the specific purpose in which it was intended to be given.
And you're missing out on the opportunity to give Christ glory. Because we receive salvation though none of us were worthy.
Mm-hmm.
We receive salvation though none of us were worthy.
Now, I almost want to flip that a little bit.
Sure.
Because one of the things that I was thinking about was how difficult it is to receive.
Sure. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
And... we talk.
Don't you steal my blessing?
We talk. We talk all the time about Montanans and how independent.
Oh,
we are.
Sure. Yeah.
And I think America's that way as a whole.
Sure.
I mean, not everybody, but in general. And so Montana just takes it to a whole nother level. But I can do it myself. I'm independent. I don't need anybody else. And just what you said. I think when you refuse to allow the body of Christ to help you, you're taking away the blessing of somebody else being able to exercise the gifts that God has given to them to help you out.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, there's an interesting thing is when we look at the text, what did they do? They did not say, hope you figured out. What did they do when you look at the text?
They sold their possessions.
Yep.
And then they gave.
As any had need. And so.
Which is implied there is that those people who were in need received it gladly.
So if we were to take this literally.
Literally? As opposed to an allegory?
Yeah. So in the sense of, you're saying that we should, as the church, all sell everything we own, bring all the money to the church, and then meet the needs as those needs are necessary to be met.
Is that what you're saying?
I'm asking you. People will be like, that's a cult. No, I think that, again, I think really the heart behind that is that again, what we just talked about, that it's not what we have is ours. Right, but there was this selling of their possessions. I haven't sold my possessions, but I think the reality behind it is this idea of generous living. That's okay. You can do that, right? Do that, right? But I think the heart behind it's the most important thing is that they love Christ and that they saw that what I have is not mine; it's God's. It's God's, right? And what did they do? They began selling and sharing their possessions in order to meet the needs of the brothers and sisters in Christ. There was a genuine and sacrificial love for one another that was an expression of Christ in them. It is God's desire that Christ in us would produce the same genuine and sacrificial love today.
Mm-hmm.
That same thing.
Yeah, I would say that should we be selling, literally selling everything that we have, just when you take it at kind of on the surface level.
Literal.
No. When you take that question, yeah, just surface level, yeah. No, because everything throughout the New Testament in terms of giving and generous living is to be done out of desire in your heart.
Sure, absolutely.
We're never, ever commanded in Scripture to give our time, resources, or talents out of obligation, but always out of a heart that loves and desires God and others. And so just like what you just said, that when we're talking about selling possessions, being generous, could asking the Lord that we would be that generous, you know, how Lord, do a work in our hearts that,
yeah,
allows us to be that generous where, yeah, we would literally.
So, we think of others' needs first before even our own.
Right. And, you know, I would have to do some research, cultural things, because,
yeah,
I mean, there's people in need here that we know.
Sure.
But maybe not to the point let's clarify
this. There is definitely charity for those outside the church. We're not, you know, but really contextually, we're talking about caring for those within.
Right.
Right? You know what I'm saying? And so that, crazy enough, that is excluding, in this context, the random person I don't know. We're called to meet that need too. I'm not saying that. But specifically in this context, it was this family of believers that had covenanted together to follow Jesus together. And there's a response. There is a greater responsibility in many ways to how we care for one another, specifically in that area, then maybe not greater, but in a different way than we would, hey, feed the hungry, right? Clothe the poor. You know what I'm saying? It's still out of a lack of love or whatever.
That comes later. Take care of your family first.
That's true. And so that is so true. And so I really think there's two evaluation questions that come to mind. The first one is if you're listening to this and you're thinking, okay, well, how do I live a life to distribute what I have to those in need in the body of Christ at Gateway? How do I do that? How do I do that in the church? The first question I think you need to ask is, am I meeting needs within the body of Christ? Am I meeting needs in the body of Christ? So as you evaluate your connection to God's family, can you honestly say that you are caring for the people in this family? Can you honestly say and I think that right there is a very hard, if we're honest, is a hard question to answer within our culture, right? Because I assure you, when you walk through hard times, you're going to desire someone to walk with you. And at this moment, there are people in our body of Christ, the local body at Gateway, there are people who are in need right now of you to walk with them in their life, in their highs and lows, their ups and downs. So you have to ask the question, am I meeting the needs within the body of Christ?
Implicit in that question is your knowledge and understanding of those needs.
And the fact, again, that we're talking about this body, this community, right? That I have a responsibility, right? You know, like example, we live in a different world now, but there are roles in the nuclear family, if you will, of a husband and a wife, right? A father and a mother. The roles can be different. They are different. The mother births the child, right? You know, I mean, the man's contribution to the birth process, very little, right? I mean, encouragement. Hey, breathe. You're doing a good job, right? Right? So, but there's this reality of that if I, as Marissa's husband and as Helen Claire and Elias's father, do not do what God has designed me to do as a father and a husband, then I am shirking responsibility, and I'm trying to think of the best way to say it. They are not getting out of the experience, is not a great word, of what our family is supposed to be the way God designed it, because I'm not doing what I'm supposed to do. Turn it back to the church family. If you are not using your gifts, if you're not meeting the needs within the body of Christ, mm-hmm. you are shirking your responsibility as a follower of Christ to your brothers and sisters in Christ.
And inhibiting their, experience is not the right word.
Right, I didn't know the word to say.
You're inhibiting other followers of Christ from
the love of Christ, yeah. Getting what they need in the highs and the lows, right? Yeah, no, that's good. I think the second thing you have to ask yourself, not only am I meeting the needs within the body of Christ, but am I using my gifts to serve the body of Christ? So what's a question someone would, if I asked that question to someone, what would be one of the first questions they ask? If I said, are you using your gifts to serve the body of Christ? What would be one of the first things they'd say?
I don't speak in tongues.
They would say, I don't know what my gift is. Right?
Oh, sure.
But you know, I mean, that's just a common thing where people say, I don't know what my gift is.
It's speaking in tongues.
It's speaking in tongues. You don't speak in tongues, so it's obviously not yours. But I mean, they would ask, what's my gift, right? And so really that's really on the elders. That's really on the pastors, right? And the leaders of the church for not discipling, right? And so really every believer, we don't have time to get into this, has a gift given by God through the Holy Spirit to use not only for inward developing and edifying the body, but outward, as we look at Ephesians chapter 4, right? Outward, really, as we proclaim Christ and make disciples collectively together. And so you have to ask the question, am I using my gifts to serve the body? And the first someone said, I don't know what my gift is. Well, we can help you with that, right? We can look at Scripture. There's a list of gifts. And so think about this. Above all, 1 Peter 4, 8 through 10. Above all, keep fervent in your love for one another, because love covers a multitude of sins. Be hospitable to one another without complaint. As each one has received a special gift, employ it in serving one another as good stewards of the manifold grace of God. Mm. Wow. You see that responsibility, not just of meeting the needs, but using your gift. You know? And I think people say, well, everyone has a different idea of gifts, and we really don't have time to get into that, but there are gifts specifically are spelled out in the Bible, in the New Testament, right? And so Are you using your gifts for the body of Christ? Are you using your gifts? Every believer has been grace gifted by God in order to strengthen and serve the body of Christ. That means we all have a responsibility within the body. Are you looking to meet the needs? And are you passionate about leveraging your gift? You say, Kyle, hey, Joel, Kyle, I want to know what my gift is. Well, come, let's talk. We'd love to help walk you through to discover what has God gifted you so that you can not only meet the needs of the body, but you can show passion, compassion to the other followers of Jesus in the body using your gift. Using your gift. Because here's the thing, when we look at the body of Christ, every person has a different gift. Like, or everybody doesn't have the same gift. Hey, you can speak, good job, that's your gift. No. There's different gifts, right? And so there's a need that the gifts come together to collectively build up the body of Christ. And we don't have time to get in Ephesians 4. But anyway, get excited about that. So we need others for the ups and downs of life. But the last thing as we finish this episode is we need others to accomplish the mission. We need others to accomplish the mission. And we're looking at verse 46 through 47. Joel, why don't you read that for us?
And day by day, attending the temple together and breaking bread in their homes, they received their food with glad and generous hearts, praising God and having favor with all the people. And the Lord added to their number day by day those who were being saved.
So what's going on in this passage?
The Lord's adding to their number because of the faithfulness of the brothers and sisters to love one another and build each other up with generous hearts.
Yeah, absolutely. And the interesting thing is in all four Gospels and the book of Acts, when the Great Commission is given, it's always to you, plural.
Plural, yeah.
A group of people. God gave the command to make disciples to a community called the church. Now, obviously, there's a personal responsibility in that, but it's a collective effort,
mm-hmm.
right? I mean, you guys in here could be obeying the command to make disciples. That doesn't mean I don't have to, right? So there's that personal thing that I need to obey the command to make disciples, but the power and the collective nature, the community nature of making disciples has this picture of, I mean, we go to Revelation, has a picture of diversity, every tribe, language, tongue, and nation. There's a picture that what God is saying in this mission together is so beautiful that it is a collective thing as it's given to the community of believers, not just one person, not just one person. But here's the thing, in our culture, who makes the disciples? Whose job is that?
Well, it's very clearly the pastors when you read scripture.
When you read scripture.
It's the only people
Stop who can disciple. Stop it, Joel. Some people may think you're being serious. Yeah, right? That's what they assume, right? I mean, when we look across the church, everybody's just sitting there on Sunday, right? And then hey, did you share the gospel? No, I didn't share the gospel with anybody. Hey, you meet with anybody, develop them in the scriptures? No, I'm not doing that. Well, what are you doing? Well, I'm at group and I'm at church on Sunday. Great. If you're at church on Sunday, that's great. And then if you're in group, that's even better. That's like 50%. Like, that's great, right? But what we're saying is...
I listen to podcasts sometimes. Does that count too?
Except this one. That doesn't count if you listen to this podcast. This podcast is terrible. I just can't. But yeah, there's this reality that God gave the command to make disciples to a community called the church. Here's the church is a local community of baptized Jesus followers uniting together under biblical leadership to share in the mission of Christ. To share in the mission of Christ. The only way we really can fulfill the Great Commission
is if we all become pastors.
Well, if you want to trick them by that, yeah, sure. But yeah, I mean, the only way for us to do it is for all to do it, right? All of us to make disciples, right? I mean, yes, for all of us to become pastors, right?
I'm kidding.
No, right. No, I know you are, right? But you're right. All of us need to be doing the job of making disciples, right?
Practitioners of the gospel.
Been called to that. Absolutely. And we have the only way we can fulfill the mission of Christ is together.
Mm-hmm.
Like we talk about DMM, and maybe we'll get on the podcast later and talk about DMM, but the reality is those who are actively laboring towards going out among the lost, mm-hmm. multiplying extraordinary prayer, focusing on God's word, training up believers, right? And sending them out, right? Those who consistently do that have other people doing it with them,
mm-hmm.
because if they don't, they're going to fall away and not do it.
Well, and not only that, they're not the only people trying to reach everybody.
Right.
Or they themselves are not trying to reach everybody.
No, no.
They're
no.
trying to reach a faithful person.
Yep.
Or faithful people, plural, mm-hmm. that are willing to then teach others also. 2 Timothy 2:2 principle. That you don't, you know, Paul was not trying to reach all of Asia by himself.
Right.
Because he couldn't.
Yeah, no, you're right.
The community aspect of reaching a smaller group of people, investing in Timothy, investing in Titus, investing in Barnabas, investing in Aquila and Priscilla, and teaching them to reach other people as well. So not reaching everybody, as many people as you possibly can, but investing in a particular few and telling them to do the same thing.
Yeah. Wow, that's good. Yeah, I mean, I think about like this is like what you just said is the mission was the overflow of community. It came out of this body of Christ. You know, you actually see it with the stoning of Stephen in the church. The church was actually one just to stay together in Jerusalem. They're just going to stay together. And then there was the stoning of Stephen. And then there was a scattering and a movement started where Antioch was planted. And Barnabas goes, checks it out because they're like, hey, I don't know what's going on down there. Right? I mean, so there's this scattering that happens. But really, the mission was the overflow of community. And if the kingdom of God is not being expanded as a result of us living in community, then here's the key. If the kingdom of God is not being expanded as a result of us living in community, it's not biblical community. We could say, hey, we're doing great community because it's just a deep, great Bible study. Or, you know what? It's just really, hey, we're just really encouraging. We do all this stuff together. Here's the thing. The aspects of community are really found in, are we going out? Are we going out to new places and new things together to see the gospel take root? Are we encouraging each other to be devoted to the commands of Christ? Really, right? Are we caring for one another in the body and if you will, for lack of better, shepherding one another in the body? And are we going out and bringing new people in who are lost into faith, right? Not into the building, but into faith. And really, are we building one another up through teaching the word? I mean, so when we look at this, that this biblical community is cheapened if those things aren't happening. Well, you can have a really great Bible study and a group of people that just do everything together. That of itself is not biblical community. Because one of the things that you're missing, it's not just growing in intimacy with God that you need other believers. And it's not just, if you will, excuse me, we need others to the ups and downs of life, but it's the fact that we're on mission together. We're on mission together. And so I think that's the challenge is there are people that do community, quote unquote, community well, but then they don't go out and share the gospel and make disciples together. And guess what? Therefore, that makes it not biblical community because it's all of those things together. I mean, you can really look at Ephesians chapter 4. It's not complete, right? Yeah, it's part of it, but it's not just that, right? It's a variety. It's really, if you will, you want to sum it up in the apostle, prophet, evangelist, shepherd, teacher, those modes, if you will, not as offices, but really expressions within the body of what's going on. And so I think that's a beautiful picture. And really, Alan Hirsch wrote this. He says, it's not so much that the church has a mission, it's that the mission has a church. It's not so much that the church has a mission, but the mission of proclaiming the glory of God, as Psalm just writes, declare the glory of God among all the nations, has a church, a collective community of people who said, I'm following Jesus, I'm dead to sin, I'm alive to Christ, and we are collectively going out together to fulfill this mission. The mission has a church. And so relationship in God's family are to be a testimony to the world about the difference Jesus makes. So as we just wrap this whole series up on community, I just want to kind of bring it down that really what we're saying is church, community is not this. Church is not, community is, let me clarify this, sorry. Church is not an event you attend, but it's a family you belong to. And family is all about community. And community is not what we do, but it's who we are. And so do you have any closing thoughts as we just kind of wrap up this understanding of what is biblical? And we really just scratched the surface. We've done like 4 episodes, but we really just scratched the surface. Do you have anything to close up as we really kind of conclude this idea of community?
I think you said it well in the last one that we need each other because there's things that we can't know or understand or appreciate about God alone. Mm-hmm. I think that that really stands out to me, because we think that, oh, I can do it all on my own. Mm-hmm. All I need is myself and the Bible.
Yeah.
And there's things about the body of Christ that we can't understand unless we are in the body of Christ, yeah, with the body of Christ, yeah, not a particular member running off on its own.
Yeah. No, that's good. And I think really the last thing we would say too is this, is like, if you're listening to the podcast and you're a follower of Jesus, the challenge for all of us is not to live superficial relationships in the body. They're the last people that we live superficial relationships, because we were all dead and we've all been made alive in Christ. And we need each other to grow in our relationship with God. We need each other in the ups and downs, and we need each other on this mission.
It takes intentionality.
It takes intentionality.
It's hard work.
It's very hard work.
But it's worth it.
But the reward here and there, yeah, is totally worth it. Because what we're all about is the fact that Jesus said, just as the Father sent me, so I'm sending you. And he's talking to a group of people. And so the church is not an event we attend, but it's a family we belong to. And family is all about community. We really hope you've enjoyed our kind of our mini series, if you will, on community, what biblical community is. And if you're asking, want to ask more questions, feel free to reach out to us. We'd love to answer those, but we look forward to hearing you, seeing you next week on the podcast.